Long and tiring day by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had been teaching the people many things in parables. He'd healed many people of their illnesses. And Matthew, in his account, this is Matthew 8, he says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. Now it was getting late, and Jesus was still surrounded by large crowds of people. And again, reading from Matthew, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. But there was a further delay before they could get going. A teacher of the law comes up to him and says that he will follow Jesus wherever he goes. And Jesus says, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Perhaps he was saying that if you want to follow me, you have to make a commitment and be prepared to make sacrifices. Perhaps Jesus is also saying that he's very tired right now and doesn't have anywhere to sleep tonight. Well, at last they got away, and Jesus was so tired that he soon fell asleep. Yes, he had no bed of his own, nowhere he could call home. But at this moment, he made use of the leather cushion on the steersman's wooden seat. So back in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, but he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. His sleep didn't last very long. A fierce storm blew up, so fierce that the boat was starting to fill with water and was in danger of sinking. People who've been to Israel can confirm how suddenly these storms can arise on the Sea of Galilee. Its cold winds are funneled down onto the lake through the deep valleys around it. But it wasn't the sound of the storm that woke Jesus. It was the cries of the disciples who were panicking because they thought that they were going to drown. They feared for their lives. The reaction of Jesus when he saw the situation was rather different. He stayed calm. And without any sign of alarm, he ordered the wind and the waves to be still. "Quiet, be still," he said. And the wind dropped and the sea became calm. And at the same time, Jesus told his disciples, or he told them off for their lack of faith, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And the disciples were awestruck at this man who had performed such an amazing miracle. "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So for our exhortation this morning, I just want to look at three simple points that come out of this story. And the first one is to do with that question that the disciples asked: "Who is this? What kind of man is this?" Matthew says. And perhaps the miracle of stilling the storm is a bit more difficult to accept, perhaps, than some of the other miracles, because it involves the basic elements of nature, the wind and the sea, elements of God's creation, subject to the Creator's will. Think it's interesting to look at Psalm 107, which is a very, it has in it a very dramatic description of some men who go to the sea in ships. And there's some very remarkable similarities with Jesus' miracle. So just looking at Psalm 107 from verse 23. "Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. for he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. So in the psalm, it's God who stills the storm. And the disciples asked, well, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So Jesus was acting with the power and authority of God himself, power that God had delegated to him. Remember at his baptism, the Spirit of God had descended on him and God had said, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. This was my Son, this is the Son of God. And remember how later Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. But the disciples were amazed and dumbfounded. They didn't know what to make of it. It took some time, I think, for them to grasp this truth. A little time later, a similar incident occurred. If we go on a couple of chapters in Mark 6, verse 45, or Matthew 14, Jesus had sent the disciples off in the boat and he'd gone up into the mountain to pray, and they were struggling to make headway. The wind was against them and the waves were beating against the boat. When Jesus came to them walking on the water, at first they were afraid, and then Peter started to walk out to the Lord. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid as well. And Jesus had to save them once again and again tell them off for their lack of faith. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. But this time, well, according to Matthew's account, they said, truly, you are the Son of God. So it seems to me that disciples had understood a little bit more of who Jesus was by this time, and of the power that he had, that it was from God himself. And then if we go another two chapters, so Mark 8, Matthew 16, we get to the point where Peter declares, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So it seems to me there's a kind of progression here in the disciples' understanding of who Jesus was, the Son of the living God. So my first point is just really that we often emphasize the fact that Jesus was a man, he was a human being just like us, which is perfectly true. But he was also the Son of God, and he was given great power and authority by his Father. After his resurrection, he was exalted to a position of great honor and glory at the right hand of God, from where he now guides his church. So let's not forget just how great he is. Even the wind and the sea obey him. The second little point to make from this story is our need for faith. Jesus says to his disciples, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And Jesus often told his disciples off for their lack of faith. We know that God is all powerful and that he cares for us and that he's aware of our needs. So Jesus says, Remember in Matthew 6 and the Sermon on the Mount, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So talking about, what shall we wear? What shall we eat? God knows these things. Or Matthew chapter 10, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your father's care. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. But sometimes it's easy to think that God has forgotten us. And again, in the Psalms, there are Psalms where the people of Israel mourn the fact that God seems to have forgotten them. An example might be Psalm 44. First of all, the psalmist reminds us what great things God has done in the past, such as when Israel entered the Promised Land. So, verse 1 of Psalm 44, we have heard it with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand, you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish. And yet, says the psalmist, it would appear that God is no longer concerned with his people. He hasn't fought their battles for them. They've been humiliated. So verse 13, you have made us a reproach to our neighbors, the scorn and derision of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations. The people shake their head at us. So they cry out to God, or the psalmist cries out to God to do something. He says it's as if God is asleep and we have to wake him up. Verse 23. Awake, Lord. Why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up and help us. Rescue us because of your unfailing love. And the disciples too thought that they'd been abandoned, left on their own. They had to wake Jesus up for him to do something. But they hadn't been abandoned, and God wasn't asleep. He is in control, and he has saved his people in the past, and he will save them again. And his love, as the psalm says, his love is unfailing, it's steadfast, it's constant, he doesn't change. So point two, it's very difficult. It was difficult for the disciples, it's difficult for us. We need to have a little faith. We have to face difficult situations sometimes. We may have to weather the storm sometimes. But we have to remember what God has done in the past, what God has done for us in the past, and trust in him to save us again. I just have to quote this verse from Paul from Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So my third point. They say the ideal talk has 3 points. Okay, so my third point. Well, Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, and there was a great calm. According to Mark, he said, quiet, be still, or peace, be still. And just as Jesus calmed the storm, which threatened the disciples' lives, he brings peace into our lives as well. And through Jesus, we have peace with God because our sins have been forgiven, because we've been reconciled to God. We've been made friends with God again. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified, we've been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been reconciled to God. He says to Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, don't be anxious about anything. In the midst of the storm, the disciples were anxious. They cried out to Jesus. Paul says that in every situation, we can present our requests to God. And if we trust in his continuing love and wisdom, we will find that peace. Because Jesus has been given all power and authority. And so his continuing presence with us will give us peace. So that's my third point. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That's John 14, 27. And finally, from John 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So to sum up, just three little lessons from this incident on the sea. Number one, let's not forget how great Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He's been given power and authority. He can even control the winds and the sea. Number two, we need to have a little faith to believe that when we are in difficult situations, God can save us. And the third point, Jesus gives us peace in our lives because we can approach him, we can take our troubles to him in prayer, and we can find peace.